am about to choose sides. I am the mother confessor. If I choose sides, I choose sides for all the Midlands. I commit all the Midlands to war." She met Chandelin's eyes. "I cannot do that on the word of these men." Chandelin erupted in fury.
"What more proof do you need? You saw what they did back at that city."
"What I saw does not matter. I must know why. I cannot simply declare war. I must know who these men are, for whom they fight." She had another reason to go, a more important reason, but she didn't speak it.
"They are killers."
"You've killed people. Would you not want others to know the reason before they sought vengeance?"
"You foolish woman."
Prindon put a cautionary hand on Chandelin's arm, attempting to bring a little prudence to Chandelin's words. Chandelin angrily wrenched his arm away.
"You say these men are foolish, and they have thousands. You are one. You have no chance to escape if they decide to kill you."
"I'm the mother confessor. None may lay a weapon to me." She knew it was an absurd pretext, but she had to do this, and could think of no other justification to allay his fears. Chandelin was too angry to speak. He finally turned away with a growl. She knew that in the past he would have been angry because if she were killed he couldn't return home. She thought that perhaps now he was genuinely afraid for her. She didn't like the idea either, but had no choice. She was the mother confessor. She had a duty to the Midlands.
"Lieutenant Hobson, please get me a horse, a white or gray if you have one."
He nodded and ran off to do as asked. "Captain, I want you to get all your men together and tell them what's happening." Chandelin stood with his back to her. She stroked a hand down the white fur over his shoulder, over his father's bone knife.
"You are fighting for the Midlands now, not just the Mud People."
He let out an angry grunt. "While I'm gone, I want you three to start explaining to these men what must be done. I hope to be back before dawn." When she saw Hobson returning with the horse, her knees tried to buckle. Dear spirits, what had she gotten herself into? She turned to face Captain Ryan. She took a breath and started again. "If I get lost and can't find my way back, you're to take your orders from Chandelin. Do you understand? You're to do as he says."
"Yes, Mother Confessor," he said in a quiet tone as he put his fist to his heart in salute. "May the good spirits be with you."
"From my experience, I'll take a fast horse instead."
"Then you have your wish," Lieutenant Hobson said. "Nick is fast and he's fierce. He won't let you down."
The captain cupped his hands, giving her a boost up onto the big war horse. She looked down at the men as she gave the gray an introductory pat on his neck. Nick snorted and tossed his head. Before she lost her nerve, she pulled the big stallion around and urged him toward the slopes, toward a trail that would circle her around to come into the enemy camp from the other side. Chapter 38. The snow-crusted trees loomed all about her in the eerie light. The moon would be down soon, but for the time being it gave the snow a luminescence that made the way easy to see. As she trotted her horse into the open valley, she was almost glad to be free of the pressing trees that could hide anyone intent on ambush. She made no attempt to conceal her approach, and the sentries saw her, but they made no move to stop a lone rider. Ahead, the army's camp was alive with fires, men, and noise. As large as a small city, it could be spotted easily and heard from miles away. Confident in their numbers, they feared no attack. With the hood of her fur mantle pulled up and drawn close around her face, Kaelin walked Nick among the confusion of men, wagons, horses, mules, tents, gear, and roaring fires. She sat tall on her horse, and above the din she could almost hear her heart thumping. The strong aroma of roasting meat and wood smoke filled the still air. The snow had been trampled and packed flat by tens of thousands of feet, both man and beast, and by wagons of every sort. Men were gathered around fires, drinking and eating and singing. Pikes were stacked upright in circles, leaning in with their heads all resting together in bristling cones. Lances were everywhere, sticking up from snowbanks, looking like forests of stripped saplings. Tents sprouted all about without any order to their layout. Men roamed far and near,
stumbling from one fire to another to try the food, to join in song around men with flutes, to gamble at dice, or to share the drink. Sharing the drink seemed to be what occupied most of them. No one paid any attention to her. They seemed too preoccupied to notice her. She kept her horse at a trot and passed the ones who did stare up before they had a chance to wonder at or confirm what they had seen. The whole place seemed to be in an uproar of activity. Her war horse didn't so much as flinch at the pandemonium all about. From some of the tents in the distance, she heard the screams of women, followed by the raucous laughter of men. Despite her attempt to stop it, a shiver ran down her spine. Kaelin knew that armies like this one were accompanied by prostitutes who rode along in the supply wagons with other camp followers. She also knew that armies like this one took women as part of their plunder, considering them a simple privilege of victory, much as taking a ring from a dead man, and worth little more. Whatever the reasons for the screams, feigned delight or true terror, she knew she could do nothing about it, and so tried not to hear them, turning her attention instead to the men she passed. At first, she saw only Daharan troops. She knew their leather and mail and armored uniforms all too well. Each of the breastplates bore an ornate, embossed letter R for the House of Rawl. Soon, though, she was able to pick out Keltons among the Daharans. She saw one group of a dozen men from Westland, each with an arm around the next fellow's shoulders as they danced in a circle and at the same time drank from mugs. She saw men of other lands, too, a few from Nicobarisi, some Sandarians, and to her horror, a handful of Galeans. Maybe, she thought, they were simply Daharans in the uniforms of men they had killed. Somehow, she didn't believe that. Sporadic quarrels were going on throughout the camp. Men argued over a lay of the dice, food, casks, or even bottles of drink. Some of the disputes erupted into fights with fists and knives. She saw one man stabbed in the gut to the uproarious laughter of onlookers. At last she spotted what she was looking for, the tents belonging to the commanders. Though they hadn't bothered to put up their flags, she knew by their size what they were. Outside the largest, a small table had been set up next to a roaring fire with spitted meat over it. Lanterns on poles surrounded the group of men gathered there. As she approached, a huge man who sat with his feet up on the table was yelling,
"I mean right now, or I'll have your head. A full one. You bring a full cask, or I'll have your head on a pike."
When the soldier scurried off, the table of men erupted in laughter. Kaelin brought her huge warhorse right up to the edge of the table. She sat tall and still as she appraised the half-dozen men sitting around the table. Four were Daharan officers. The one with his boots resting on the table had been the man who had been yelling. One was a Keltish commander in an ornate uniform unbuttoned to reveal a filthy shirt soaked with wine and meat drippings, and one man wore plain tan robes. With a large knife, the man with his feet up on the table carved a long strip of meat from a bone. He tossed the bone over his shoulder to a snarling pack of dogs behind him. He tore the strip of meat in half with his teeth and pointed with the knife to his right, to the young man in plain robes, as he added a swig from a mug to the meat already in his mouth. He spoke around it all.
"Wizard Slagle here told me you thought he smelled a confessor."
He peered up with bloodshot eyes.
"And where is your wizard, confessor, huh?"
Everyone at the table laughed with him. Ale ran down his thick blonde beard.
"Bring anything to drink, confessor? We're nearly out." "No? Well, not to mind."
With the knife, he pointed over to the Keltish commander.
"Karsh here tells me there's a nice city a week or so down the mountains, and they're bound to have some ale for us thirsty boys after they welcome us to their town and swear allegiance."
Kaelin's eyes slid to the wizard. It was for him she had come. She coolly calculated whether or not she could make the jump from the horse to the wizard and touch him with her power before she was caught by that big knife. The man wielding the knife didn't look to be able to react too quickly. Still, she judged it to be poor odds. She was willing to give her life to the task, but only if she could be reasonably sure of success. But it was for him she had come. The wizard was this army's eyes. He saw things before they could, and things they couldn't see, like her. And Daharans feared things magic and spirits. A wizard was their defense against magic and those spirits. Her gaze moved from the wizard's deep-set eyes and drunken, leering smirk to what he was doing with his hands. He was whittling. Before him on the table was a pile of shavings. She remembered the piles of wood shavings in the palace at Ebenicia, outside the girls' rooms. The wizard waggled the stick he had whittled. For the first time she noticed what it was, a larger-than-life phallus. His smirk grew. The man with the knife pointed it to the wizard.
Slagle's got something for you, Confessor. Been working on it for 2 hours, since he realized you were coming for a visit.
He made a feeble attempt to hold back his laughter, but it came in fits through his restraint, and he finally gave in to it. 2 hours. They had just told her the limits of this wizard's power. She had left the Galleons 4 hours ago, but nearly an hour of that had been spent at her task up on the ridges. That meant the Galleon boys weren't yet close enough for the wizard to know of them, but were only concealed from discovery by a dangerously thin margin. Any closer, and the wizard would know of them, long before they could bring any surprise to bear. She waited for the Daharan man's laughter to sputter out before she spoke. You have me at a disadvantage.
Not yet, but I will.
The men roared and hooted again. With every beat of her heart, she became more calm. She pushed her hood back. She wore her confessor's face. What is your name, soldier?
Soldier!
He lurched forward and stuck the knife in the table.
I'm no soldier. I'm General Riggs. I'm supreme commander of all our troops. All our men, old and new, ask of me.
And in whose name are you fighting, General Riggs? He swept his hand around.